The special ten Sahabas, radiyallahu anhum. The special ten Sahabas, radiyallahu anhum. The special ten Sahabas, radiyallahu anhum. The special ten Sahabas, radiyallahu anhum.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we welcome you back once again to our very special program, The Special 10, in which we are going to be continuing with our discussion to the blessed lives of those 10 special individuals who received the glad tidings of Jannah, of Paradise, in this very world by the beloved tongue of our beloved Nabi, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. But before continuing, as usual, let's listen to a blessing of reciting salawat and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Then inshallah azawajal we will continue from where we left off with regards to the discussion of Sayyidina Zubair bin Awwam radiyallahu ta'ala an. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala an, he has narrated the following statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that the peace of our heart and mind, the most generous and kind sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, أَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَكْثَرُهُمْ عَلَيَّ صَلَاةً, that on the Day of Judgment, the closest person to me would be the one who recited the most salat upon me. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. So we hear again and again the blessings of reciting salawat and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the blessings of sending salutations in abundance upon the beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Let's all with love and affection, with love and devotion, recite salawat and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salaman alayka ya Rasulullah. So dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, alhamdulillah, we have been discussing the various attributes in our previous episode. We just looked at various occasions from the life of Sayyidina Zubair bin Awwam radiyallahu anhu, in which automatically certain attributes of his came into discussion. For example, his generosity, his detachment from this world, him being not inclined towards the love of this world in any way, shape or form. Likewise, another beautiful attribute that Sayyidina Zubair bin Awwam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu possessed was the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it was due to this fear, and we've already heard that he definitely possessed immense love for Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. In fact, with regards to him, if we look at his biography and his life, Sayyidina Zubair bin Awwam radiyallahu anhu, he was a very trustworthy person. And many a times people used to place their belongings in his security. They used to give him their belongings to look after, to safeguard for them. And Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiyallahu anhu, Sayyidina Miqdad, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf, and Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud, and seven other glorious Sahaba Kiram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, they appointed Sayyidina Zubair bin Awwam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu as a guardian of their wealth even after their death. This is how much of a trustworthy individual he was. So this is one attribute of his which we already had a slight glimpse into in our last episode. Likewise, we heard with regards to his aversion from worldliness that he used to give a lot in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a lot of sadaqah. Likewise, his love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he would obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whenever he asked who would go and do such and such. He would be from amongst the top people, from amongst the first people who would present themselves to in order to execute this task for the sake of Islam, for the sake of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Plus, you know, there are many other narrations which we can find in which we hear about his love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in this narration, we will hear now that we're about to hear with regards to his fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Automatically, his love for the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his love for the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is also reflected within it. So, he was asked that there are many other companions who narrate the ahadith of the beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ahadith, the sayings, the narrations of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are reported by other companions, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. So he was asked that, why do you not report narrations in the same way? And he radiyallahu anhu, he says that, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I take an oath in Allah's name, since I have accepted Islam, I have always been with the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, with my beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, I've accompanied him. But the reason for why I do not narrate ahadith, I do not transmit these narrations, I do not pass these ahadith on, I do not quote any ahadith, any statements of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, is because the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, he says, "Man kadhaba alayya muta'ammidan فَلْيَتَبَوَّأْ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ." Whomsoever lies against me, then he should prepare his abode in the hellfire. Allahu Akbar. So it is not because Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiallahu anhu was ma'azallah scared that he would end up mixing lies from himself, but rather due to this fear that whilst being unaware, a slight mix up in the words of the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just out of this fear, he did not transmit hadith, he did not pass on this many ahadith. There are narrations which are narrated by him, but he did not transmit a huge amount of ahadith out of this fear. Now, if we look at ourselves, a very important point for us to take on board, we should never pass on any statement, any narration in which we attribute it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, unless we are certain, unless we are 100% sure that this is the statement of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. This is a saying of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. A very, very strong call to those who are users of various social media platforms and social media sites, that there are narrations which are shared, there are sayings which are shared, which are attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. And a lot of them, they are not authentic. A lot of them, they're actually made up. They're false. They're falsely attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So in this case, you know, we are not to share and forward those on. And this is unfortunately becoming an epidemic in the world of social media, that people are sharing quotes that they find which are attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam without asking a scholar, a religious scholar, that does this narration have any base? Or is it a fabricated one? Is it a made up one? And this is something for us to take on board. Keep in mind the taqwa and the piety of the companions of Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Yet they feared transmitting hadith out of, why? Because there might be a mix up of words. They might mix some words up. Allahu Akbar. And then we are here we are, you know, just passing on anything that we receive through messages that is shared on social media and just passing it on without a second thought, without any care. This is not something to be practicing. This is not something to be encouraged. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salamun alayka ya Rasulullah. So alhamdulillah, before discussing the life of Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiallahu anhu, we discussed the life of Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiyallahu ta'ala an. And today, now we are discussing the life of Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiyallahu ta'ala an. So let's listen to some of the teachings of both of these companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. So firstly, Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiyallahu ta'ala an, you know, keeping in mind what a great companion he radiyallahu an was, he used himself as a shield for the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the day of Uhud, and that is the day that he was given the glad tidings as well, awjaba Talha, that Jannah, heaven, paradise has become necessary for Talha. So this is that same day that he was given this glad tidings, this paradise. Now there are, obviously, there's so much we can learn from his life, but just one to narrate one statement and one quote of Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu an, that he says, لا تشاور بخيلا في صلة ولا جبانا في حرب ولا شابا في جارية, that do not consult a miserly, a stingy person when it with regards to giving, with regards to giving something, and do not consult a cowardly person who we can term in our language generally as a chicken. Don't consult a chicken-hearted. Don't consult a coward with regards to matters of war, and do not consult a very young person, an inexperienced youth with regards to the matter of a woman. So basically from this statement, what do we learn? That when we are to consult, when we are to seek advice from someone, we seek it from someone who is able to give advice, who has experience in that field. You know, you wouldn't just go to a random person and start to ask him. For example, you wouldn't go to your car mechanic to go and ask him with regards to how to make sure that you, for example, you have weak gums, or you've got a toothache, or your tooth is bleeding. So you wouldn't go to your car mechanic and say, you know, give me some of your pearls of wisdom with regards to this. But you'd rather go to your dentist, and likewise. So why? What do? We consult each and every person in accordance. And this is something actually very important for us, you know, especially in matters of religion. Maybe even when it comes to worldly matters, we do go and consult people, consult the experts in that field. But when it comes to religious matters, unfortunately, we are still lacking this mentality of consulting these scholars, of consulting the experts in that field. Be it with regards to our means of income, our means of trade, our means of business, or just our matters of the household, our domestic affairs, with regards to each and everything, whenever there is an issue, you know, how often do we consult these scholars? Or do we just consult ourselves and give a fatwa and a verdict to ourselves? Who gave us the authority? This is something that we really need to strongly instill within our minds, that we need to be constantly consulting these scholars. Likewise, benefit from the experiences of others, benefit from the experiences of these scholars. You know, one of the ways to become wiser, to grow more wisdom within us, to be wiser beyond our age, is to benefit from the experiences of others. So for example, the scholars that have written books, Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatuhum al-Aliyah, that has compiled so many books, we need to read them and we need to gain advice from them. We need to benefit, because for example, now, you know, we can't be in a situation where these scholars are, for example, where the founder of Dawah Islami, Amir al-Sunnah, is how much experience he's had even socially, interacting with people, how well he knows people. The problems that people come and mention to him, we're not in that same state. So we cannot gain that experience, but yet we can benefit from the experience of Amir al-Sunnah by reading his literature. So the examples, for example, he has mentioned in his book, Backbiting. In that book, the examples that he has mentioned, maybe we would have never thought of them, because maybe we will never practically and physically come across each and every one of them. Depending on our way, depending on our position in society, you know, for example, a teacher, a doctor, so on and so forth, so they have particular examples pertaining to them. So maybe we will not be able to experience these things firsthand, but through the experience of Sidi Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatuhum al-Aliyah, that he has related and passed on, and he has relayed his experience in this book, we could benefit from that. And likewise, this is something that we need to be keeping in mind. Like, there's a saying which is narrated, which is linked and attributed to Hakim Luqman, شَاوِرْ مَنْ جَرَّبَ الْأُمُورِ فَإِنَّهُ يُعْطِيكَ مِنْ رَأْيِهِ مَا قَامَ عَلَيْهِ بِالْغَلَىٰ وَأَنْتَ تَأْخُذُهُ مَجَانًا. He gave this advice to his son, that consult in matters him who is experienced, because he will give you his advice which he obtained through a heavy cost, and you are obtaining it free of cost. You know, this is the importance of consulting those who are experienced, especially with regards to religious matters. Those who are authentic, have the correct beliefs and have the relevant experience, we should always be adopting their company and being in their company. Some of the wise people and the scholars, they have said that whomsoever consults another person, then he adds on, along with his own opinion, he adds on the opinion of the intellectuals, intellectual people, clever people. And he also, along with his intellect, his aql, his mind, he adds on the intellect of those other people as well. So his statement now, his opinion is much more stronger, because it's not only him who's thinking. He is consulted and taken on board the statements and the sayings and the opinions of other people as well. And whomsoever, this is why it is also being said, it's also said that مَا خَابَ مَنِ اسْتَخَارَ وَلَا نَدِمَ مَنِ اسْتَشَارَ, that whomsoever does istikhara, seeks guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will not, inshallah, azza wa jal, incur any loss. And likewise, whomsoever consults others, he will never be regretful. So when it comes to the matters of the household, when it comes to, you know, when we, let's say we are the head of the house, we make the decisions of the house, we call the shots, as they say, we make the decisions. So now we need to make sure that we consult each and every person in the family member. Obviously, it doesn't mean you get your baby who's 2 years old and try to give his opinion. It doesn't necessarily mean that. But those who are elderly, who are mature, they need to give their opinion so they don't feel left out. And when you make a decision, nobody stands up and turns around against you and say, yeah, you should have asked us this and this. But once you've unanimously and all together agreed upon one thing, you've come to a conclusion, then at that point, now when that decision is taken, it's not only being taken from one individual, but from everyone. So this is a cause and a means of peace and tranquility within the house, inshallah azza wa jal. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salatun wa salaman alayka ya Rasulullah. Likewise, Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiyallahu ta'ala an, a beautiful statement of his, a beautiful quote of his that we can find. He says, man istata'a an takuna lahu khabi'atun min 'amalin salihin falyaf'al. That whomsoever has the ability, and this is narrated also in the Zuhud of Imam Ahmad, that whomsoever has the ability to have a secret from his good deeds, then he should do so. Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful advice. What a brilliant advice by Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiyallahu ta'ala an. Because for any action to be accepted, ikhlas, sincerity is a condition, you know. We cannot be doing it to show off to people. And how do we obtain sincerity truly? Is when we do not have this love of being known in our hearts. When we don't have this desire in our hearts that everybody should know about the deed that I just did, people should be praising me. When this desire for praise, when this desire for fame is in the heart, then most likely that is indicating towards the absence of ikhlas and sincerity. And these things are just for us. We're not to judge other people, because we cannot see into their hearts. We do not know the states of their hearts. So we cannot say so and so person, he's showing off. But these are for us. If we have this desire for fame, if we have this desire that our deeds be known to others and we be praised for our deeds, then we need to have a second look at our deeds. And this is a beautiful saying of Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiallahu anhu. Such a concise statement, but containing so many lessons for us, containing ample lessons for us. Likewise, we hear and we see the way of our pious predecessors, who would even, for example, sometimes fast. With regards to certain scholars, when we look into their blessed lives, we see that they fasted for 40 years. 40 years they kept a fast for. They were in a state of saum, for voluntary fast. Every single day for 40 years, they would fast. But yet, not even their family members, not even their own wives, not even their own household, people from their own household knew. And this is how they used to like it. They would prefer that they did deeds in such a way, in such a secret way that not even their own family came to know of it. So these individuals, for example, when we come across, when we read the lives of the scholars and we see such and such a scholar, he used to fast for 40 years. So what did he used to do? He would take his lunch, packed lunch as you could say. He would take that in the morning. He would take the food from his house in the morning. So he does not reveal to his family members that he's fasting. But on the way he would give it to a needy person. A faqir, a miskeen, he would give it to a needy person and he would remain in the state of fasting all day and then go back in the evening at iftar and eat then. Such a brilliant way of concealing their deeds they had. Likewise, we see with regards to our five spirit sisters, they would go into a room and they would cry out of the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. But before coming out, they would wash their face, they would place kuhl and surma into their eyes. Why? So when they come out, nobody can tell that they've been crying. This is the essence of sincerity here. Doing something only and purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yes, we need to ponder over that how many of us have deeds which are truly a secret between us and our Lord. Every time we do any deed, we commit, we carry out any deed, we want everyone in the city to know about it. We want everyone in the area to know about it. I give money in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want everyone to, on the day of Friday, I want everyone in the masjid to know that I gave such and such amount of money. And if the Imam Sahib does not announce it, then he's not in my good books. He's not done good to me. This is our attitude and this needs to change. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to act upon these madni fells. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with regards to showing off, let's look at a couple of brief statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Mahmud bin Lubayd radiyallahu anhu, he has reported this saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "The thing I fear most for you is minor polytheism." People asked, "What is minor polytheism?" He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, "Showing off." Allahu Akbar. The beloved and the blessed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has said, "Whoever fasted to show off has committed polytheism. Whoever offered salah to show off has committed polytheism. And whoever gave charity to show off has committed polytheism." Allahu Akbar. Likewise, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that keep avoiding hidden polytheism, which is for a person to perfect his ruku' and sujood in salah for people who are watching. And there are many narrations which tells us of the detriment, the harms, the detrimental effects of showing off, that on the day of judgment, a person will not be given his reward, but rather it will be said to him, "Go and seek your reward, go and ask for your reward for those whom you used to carry out the deeds for, and see if they can give you the reward." So it is not worth it for the praise of this world for 2-3 minutes, for even, let's say maximum, even if it was to last our entire lifetime, which is generally does not happen, for the deeds that we carry out. Usually it's a praise of a few seconds, a few minutes, a few weeks if that, and a few months if at the very maximum. After this, people forget, they get along with their own lives. Generally, it's a matter of a few seconds, not even a minute. For that amount of praise in this world, is it worth to lose out the reward that I was to be granted for that good deed had I done it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is really something to be pondering over. So, alhamdulillah, throughout the statements of these two blessed companions, we've learned a lot. Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiyallahu ta'ala an, in the battle of Jamal literally means camel, Ibn Jurmuz pursued him, he followed him, and he martyred him with deceptive manner. So on the day of Thursday, 11th of Jamadul Ukhra, 36th Hijri, he radiyallahu ta'ala an was martyred. And he radiyallahu ta'ala an is buried in Iraq, in The place that he is buried, that is also called Madinat al-Zubayr, the city of Zubayr. Sayyidina Zubayr bin Awam radiallahu anh is buried there. The person who went and ma'adallah killed Sayyidina Zubayr bin Awam radiallahu anh, he martyred him. Ibn Jurmoz, when he went to Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Ali al-Murtada karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, and he sought permission to come in, he was told that give the news of hellfire to the one who murdered, who killed Sayyidina Zubayr bin Awam radiallahu anhu. Allahu Akbar. There is so much more we can discuss with regards to the blessed life of Sayyidina Zubayr bin Awam radiallahu anhu. You know, his role during the caliphate of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, his role during the caliphate of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, and likewise his closeness to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. There are many more aspects, and in this program of ours, we're just taking a brief look into the blessed lives of these individuals, just certain aspects of their lives that we can look and we can hear, we can look at and we can hear for blessings, and also to take on board some lessons from their blessed lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly grant us the ability to take on board these lessons and take blessings from their teachings and take on board what they have taught. To end, I will just like to end on a beautiful narration with regards to Sayyidina Zubayr bin Awam radiallahu ta'ala an, and with regards to the angels imitating his style and imitating him. It is narrated that on the day of Badr, Sayyidina Zubayr radiallahu an, he had tied a yellow colored Imam al-Sharif, a yellow colored turban. And the shimla, the tail of the Imam al-Sharif that we leave, he had placed it on his face, on his mouth. When the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullah Ta'alaim, they narrate that this was the Imamah, the color of the Imamah and the method of the Imamah that Sayyidina Zubayr bin Awam radiallahu anh was wearing, Allahu Akbar. And they say that when the angels descended, when the angels came down, they were also wearing yellow colored Imamah's yellow colored turbans. Allahu Akbar. What a great companion of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. You know, especially with regards to his bravery, there is so much we've not touched upon during this program of ours. There is so much that can be said. You know, he accompanied the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in each and every battle, in each and every ghazwa, in each and every expedition that took place. And he was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And indeed, the bravery that he displayed was the result of the upbringing of his mother. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to remember what we've heard briefly with regards to the life of Sayyidina Zubayr bin Awam radiallahu anh, and take on board and act upon the lessons that we have gained from his life and pass it on to others. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the love for all the companions ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een, all the companions of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be it the Khulafa Rashideen, Sayyidina Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala an, Sayyidina Mawla Ali, the line of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Shaykh Khuda, Ali al-Murtada, Karram Allahu ta'ala wajahu al-Kareem, be it Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu an, be it any other companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly grant us their love, truly instill their love into our hearts. Ameen, Bijahin Nabil Ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The special tense of Abbas رضي الله عنهم. The special tense of Abbas رضي الله عنهم. The special tense of Abbas رضي الله عنهم. The special tense of Abbas رضي الله عنهم.